This is Jordan Seculo breaking news. The U.S. Senate unveils its healthcare plan to repeal and replace Obamacare, and it includes the defunding of Planned Parenthood.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
I regret that our Democratic friends made clear early on that they did not want to work with us in a serious bipartisan way to address the Obamacare status quo. But Republicans believe we have a responsibility to act, and we are, for our constituents, for our state, and for our country.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We've never seen a bill that is going to have this dramatic an effect on millions of Americans, losing women their maternity benefits, cutting off their access to Planned Parenthood, losing them birth control benefits. It's going to be so bad. That's why they're trying to jam it through and why everyone is claiming they have no responsibility. It's really incredible.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo, and in my hands I have, it's called the Better Care Reconciliation Act of 2017. This is the Senate. Remember, it's already, the House has passed already legislation to repeal and replace Obamacare, as these Republican members of Congress have promised, but it has to get through the Senate as well. We knew the Senate would draft some of their own language. Interesting, in our initial review, and again, this is not 2,700 pages. It looks thick if you're watching us on Facebook or Periscope, and I've got it in my hands, but it's 142 pages. A lot of that legislative text, because this involves taxes, and so a lot of references back to other pieces of legislation. But it includes, which the news reports yesterday, and I didn't retweet out any of these or retweet because I didn't think they were certain enough. And ultimately, this legislation, which will be introduced in the United States Senate, it's now made public, prohibits funding to Planned Parenthood basically the exact same way that the House does. It's on page 34. If you are looking at this legislation online, you go into page 34 and then page 35. So basically it says prohibited entities. The term prohibited entity means an entity, including its affiliates, subsidiaries, successors, and clinics, that as of the date of this enactment, and then you go down to provide for section, subsection 3, provides for abortion. So they don't get any funding. It defunds Planned Parenthood. That is included in the Senate bill. That doesn't mean there's not a battle to get this passed through the United States Senate. Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs in Washington, D.C. Than, first, your reaction. We discussed this right before air. Not as many huge differences between the House bill and the Senate bill as some people might have expected.
Jordan, it really tracks very closely to the House bill. There are some tweaks to how the tax credits are applied. There's a stability fund added. It slightly slows down the phase out of the Medicaid expansion. I know those are all very technical things, Jordan, but the bottom line is it's very close to the House bill. And I would just say tactically, this is my own perspective, but I think it's a good strategy because remember, it's going to be small changes. The House will have to pass it again, and they passed it with only two votes to spare. So all things told, I think this was a good tactical move. And we told listeners yesterday, Jordan, that while the reports were out there that the leadership might be stripping this Planned Parenthood language funding, it is in there. That is a very good thing. We're going to have to fight hard to maintain it as the Senate moves towards passage.
I think you answered something, too, that's very important for folks to understand, is that this would, if it does, in fact, pass through the Senate, which will be a battle into next week, this will go back to the House for another vote. Now, they won't make changes, right, then? This would be a vote on this specific text.
Technically, they would have an option to either go to conference or to just take up the Senate bill as passed. But Jordan, again, that's why I think it's a good tactical move, is if this is the bill that the Senate moves, I do not think there will be a conference. I think the House would take up this bill exactly as passed and pass it. If they do that, Jordan, it would go straight to the president's desk for his signature.
So, I mean, we could be one Senate vote, one House vote away from finally repealing and replacing Obamacare and defunding Planned Parenthood, folks. I mean, we're prepared to take action on this. We want to hear from you on the phones, 1-800-684-3110.
That's
and
right.
Logan, lots of ways to get involved in the broadcast.
Yeah, phone
today.
Lines are jamming up, but we have one line still open, 1-800-684-3110. Or you can get your comments in on social media. Phone lines are now completely jammed. You can still try those. We're going to screen some out. 1-800-684-3110. Facebook.com/JaySeculo. Periscope, search for Jay Seculo. Also broadcasting video as well on ACLJ.org. But give us a call. Get your comments in right now.
And let us not forget the Islamic terror attack in Flint, Michigan at the airport there yesterday by a man with a knife shouting Allah Akbar. We will talk about that when we come back.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. And in a breaking news, in case you've missed it, just in the last hour, the United States Senate has released its repeal and replacement of Obamacare, also known as the Affordable Care Act. It is entitled the Better Care Reconciliation Act of 2017. It's available to the public now. I've got it printed out here in front of me. It's about 142 pages, a lot less than Obamacare. Not that different than what the House did. Again, so not such an extreme differences between how the House and the Senate have addressed this. And that's a good thing if this gets through the Senate, because it does have to go back to the House, but it may not have to go through the process of trying to, conference this and figure out differences. And so you really could be, based off the text as it stands now, if it's not heavily amended, you could be two votes away, one in the Senate, one in the House away from finally repealing Obamacare, which is failing for the American people, replacing it with something much better, and folks, a huge victory for all Republicans who have pledged to do this, for the President of the United States as well, for the Vice President, who is going to have to fight, especially because he has a vote on this that may very well be important throughout the process, even the amendment process. So because of the defunding of Planned Parenthood, because all Republicans in the Senate are not in unison, and you got a lot of moderates there. But at the same time, it's not like this is a giant government plan. I think that's good news. I always think that when Planned Parenthood opposes something, it's probably a good idea to support it as it stands. And they've already got it out. It's as bad as we thought. Now, do you think they read 142 pages? Well, they don't care about that. So they care about what's on page 33 and 34, and that's the defunding of Planned Parenthood. The Senate is on the verge of voting to demolish health care for millions. That's their first line, and cut off Planned Parenthood patients from care, which, by the way, folks, we've gone through their numbers before. The people that they are seeing for non-abortion services just keeps declining, though their funding remains the same. I think we've got sound from Cecile Richards and Planned Parenthood. Let's just play that. This is the reaction to, again, the move to, think about it, it's $500 million a year. You're going to severely take a stand and really punch back on the abortion industry.
We've never seen a bill that is going to have this dramatic an effect on millions of Americans, losing women their maternity benefits, cutting off their access to Planned Parenthood, losing them birth control benefits. It's going to be so bad. That's why they're trying to jam it through, and why everyone is claiming they have no responsibility. It's really incredible.
Yeah, I love the birth control benefits. The way this stands, again, When it goes to that, it's about not forcing that on people, which the Supreme Court has already said. There will be a women's health provided. None of this cuts funding to women's health. It will just go to places that do not provide abortions, which most community health centers don't. Even women's health centers do not. It's Planned Parenthood. It doesn't say Planned Parenthood. It's abortion providers. Right. But basically, they are admitting that they are the abortion providers in the country and the subsidizers, if not that. But there's other good parts of this, too, like the end of the individual mandate, the end of the penalties, the Affordable Care Act, the suspension of a Cadillac tax on good health care plans that you may get from your employer. And many of you do. And, you've not been informed about a tax that could be coming on that. So we'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You can also comment on Facebook and Periscope. We want you to share this with your friends and family if you're joining us on social media. There's a lot to break down here. Logan, let's take a phone call and kind of get this conversation discussion right. going.
Let's go to Mary Ellen. She's calling in Chicago on line 3. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Jordan. Two little comments. You said the bill is 142 pages, which is much more reasonable than the thousands of pages of Obamacare that confused the whole nation. And the second comment was, as I turned on your station, the news reporter was saying Pelosi's blasting the bill without having read it.
Yeah, of course they are. That's because the Democrats have made the decision to ultimately have nothing to do with this. They keep complaining, well, we weren't a part of it, and we're not a part of it. But they said they don't want to be a part of it. They will not be a part of it.
Right.
Make that clear to everyone, Than, that they refused to enter into these discussions. The only way that they would work on health care was to prop up and try and save what they all know, which is why they wanted to have bipartisan meetings, to save Obamacare. And that's what they wanted the message to be. They wanted to scare everyone because the system's falling apart. I mean, there's people who are not going to have insurance choices in a handful of states very soon. No insurance choices where you're supposed to have all of these different choices. And then you get to the Medicaid cards, and then the doctors aren't taking those. So you've got those two issues. The exchanges, there's nothing to exchange in many places across the country. But then the Democrats' idea was you either save Obamacare or we want nothing to do with it. And hey, to their own detriment, we don't need any of their votes. It'd be nice if America could work together on this, but this is what they did to Republicans with Obamacare. They don't want President Obama's only domestic policy legacy completely undone, even though it's failing. They knew it. They know it has to be propped up. But they didn't want it to be completely destroyed. Be an asterisk kind of in history. But that's what we wanted. That is what will be done if Republicans are successful here.
Well, to the caller's point, Jordan, that press conference was happening literally as the bill was being released. So I don't think she'd read a single word of it. I have been speed reading this bill ever since it came out, and I have now looked at every page, Jordan, but I have not read every word. She had not read a single word. But let me just say this. You knew that Nancy Pelosi was not going to support this bill, even if she was a member of the Senate. But people like Joe Manchin, who represent states where the vast majority of the population is probably going to support this, and more importantly than that, Jordan, is suffering under the structure of Obamacare. And yet not a single one of them is even willing to come to the table on this. Joe Manchin, for example, he provided a vote in favor of stripping Planned Parenthood when this bill was voted on in 2015, but he voted against the final package. So as sad as that all is, I would focus in our listeners on the 52 Republican senators because, Jordan, you're going to need 50 of them. You're not going to get a single Democrat. You need 50 of them plus Vice President Pence to get this over the line.
Planned Parenthood will be defunded under the Senate's plan as it stands right now. We may have to fight to keep that provision in. It's on page 34. And Planned Parenthood, the front of their website, I'm holding it's a printout in my hand. They are already saying, breaking, the Senate releases the worst bill for women's health in a generation. It would defund Planned Parenthood. Well, yeah. I mean, they're making no bold about that. It defunds all of us paying for abortions. Doesn't outlaw abortions. And Than, to point out, this is the reconciliation process. This is, we've been talking about, we need to go back maybe, phase one of probably at least three phases. Phase one is using reconciliation, which doesn't require those thresholds, especially in the Senate, to get this passed, to start to take apart the Affordable Care Act and replace it. Phase two will be the regulatory reform that comes right out of HHS and Secretary Tom Price. Phase three will be probably more legislative work that then you can get Democrats on board with because they're not about saving
the affordable. It's not all politics them anymore, which is sad that it is now, but it's not about Obama's legacy. If you can get this done, there's no more Affordable Care Act to save, so they're going to be a little bit more beholden to their constituents to put in more legislative fixes in the future. This is phase one, Than.
Yeah, I think that you laid it out very well. The reconciliation process, Jordan, has pros and cons. The pros are that it only takes 50 votes to pass, and it's privileged, so it can move very quickly. The vote will happen next week, Jordan. The cons, of course, you can't do everything, as you said, that you would like to. Our listeners are going to hear about, over the next several days, the parliamentarian making rulings on which provisions can stand or fall. That's because it's part of the reconciliation process. So, Jordan, I would just tell people, you're probably going to lose some provisions in this bill that you like. Don't be disheartened. That is going to happen in the reconciliation process. It can be addressed later. But the one other thing that I would add, this is why we pushed so hard for this Planned Parenthood provision back in 2015 when we knew President Obama was going to veto it anyway. Because what did we get, Jordan? We got a ruling from the parliamentarian that said this language was okay under reconciliation. So one thing that you're not going to see is that Planned Parenthood language coming out because of that. Now, you're still going to have to defend against an amendment to strip it out, but it is not going to be stripped out because of a technicality. That is a huge, huge tactical win for us.
We talked a lot about this yesterday, how the Democrat Party, you know, Nancy Pelosi doing that press conference because she's under a lot of heat. And I think President Trump was funny. He said, please, Democrats, don't get rid of Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer. It wouldn't be good for Republicans. I think he's being very honest about that. I agree. She's, again, shown to be a huge drag on Democrat candidates. Certainly was in the Georgia 6th congressional race. You know, Planned Parenthood was the second largest funder of John Ossoff. I don't want to rehash all of that from yesterday, but they were the number two biggest campaign contributors and spenders on the Democrat side in that race. Nearly $1 million spent, or you could say wasted, by Planned Parenthood. So it's no surprise, then, you hear from Senator Bernie Sanders that the Democrats still believe, make it all about Planned Parenthood. They think this is a winning strategy. And, you know, I think it's more important than that. But take a listen to this to Senator Sanders.
It is not a health care bill when you defund Planned Parenthood and deny 2.5 million women their choice of health care providers.
Realize his point there as we go into this break, though, is that you can't have a health care bill if you don't send $500 million to the number one abortion provider in the country. And by the way, you'd take that $500 million and you'd be providing it to women's health clinics around the country that don't do abortions. I mean, this again, it shows you they are so in bed with that industry. They act like they're so independent. Even independents like Bernie Sanders, they're owned by Planned Parenthood. They own the Democrats now.
Absolutely. Right now, we have no lines open. Some of you guys want to talk about it, but it is true. It's absolutely what's going on. You can see them fail and fail again. Hopefully they will in this as well. And hopefully we will succeed the passing of this bill. All right. We'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live. Going to phone line, but no reason to.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255.
That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
We're going to get back to health care. The legislation has been introduced in the United States Senate very quickly, but you got to update on a couple issues. One, out of Michigan, a terror attack, Islamic terror attack, and don't just take my word. Here's the FBI special agent in charge, which, by the way, notice the change since the Trump administration. I don't think before they would ever come out so quickly and say what the suspect said if it happened to be Islamic. Take a listen, though. This was confirmed just hours after the attack on a police officer at the airport in Flint, Michigan.
He went into a restroom. He spent a little time in the restroom, dropped both bags and came out, pulled out a knife, yelled Allah Akbar, and stabbed Lieutenant Neville in the neck.
He then went on to repeat information about Syria, Iraq. I mean, so this was certainly, it may have been acting on his own. We don't know his other connections yet. And again, this mirrored the attacks we've seen more recently in France. Remember, we had the AK-47 attack on police at the Champs-Élysées, and one police officer killed. They fired back and took those attackers out quickly. Then we had the hammer attack on police officers outside of the Notre Dame Cathedral. And then just last week, the van filled with explosives, which was an attack, again, on the Champs-Élysées. The attack did not go off as planned, thankfully, but it was focused on police, ramming police vehicles. And now in our own country, let's just not forget, there was an Islamic terrorist attack in the United States yesterday in Michigan on a police officer who was stabbed multiple times at an airport in that unsecured area. And thankfully, he is recovering now. But you could tell from those press conferences, if you watched yesterday, it's a community that was a bit shaken, and it needs to get attention. Now, of course, we've got other issues. We've got the health care bill, which has now been introduced by the Senate. It is public. We can all read it. No more secrecy. And I think that line is absurd. The vote's not till next week. We used to have 72-hour rules, things like that. As earliest would be next week. Second, and then we're going to get to your phone calls, the travel ban at the Supreme Court, or the immigration executive order, the travel pause. It is at the Supreme Court. They will be making the decision on two things. One, will they let the executive order go into force? Will they grant a stay on these injunctions against the order that have been issued by the Fourth and Ninth Circuit? And then two, will they hear the case in the fall? We can know that at literally any moment today, tomorrow, or Monday, but I mean, you can't predict those things. Usually it's morning or afternoon, but again, so we're watching that very closely. You know, the ACLJ has filed briefing at every step in all of these different cases, so we have made our voice heard in support of that executive order. Let's get right to the phone. So I know everybody wants to talk healthcare today, and I understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's we'll go in order, actually, because a lot of people have been holding a while. Let's go to Jamie first in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Hey, Jamie.
Hey, guys. Hey, I want to just a couple of things here. First of all, we are middle class Americans, and we've always paid our taxes, yep, you know, on time. Even if they sent us a bill for $10.57, we would send that to the IRS. Okay. When the American Care Act came out, Obama said that there were no taxes. This would not increase your taxes. Okay. We file our taxes. Our CPA calls us, and he said, okay, if you're going to be selling your piece of property, he said, thanks to the American Care Act, you're going to be paying this much extra in taxes.
Yeah.
Oh, when we were told there were no extra taxes to the ACA.
The Affordable Care Act was basically just a new tax regime. It set up these exchanges, but it is all – so that's why tax reform has not happened before this healthcare reform has happened, because the ACA is basically, Than, just a giant reference back to the Internal Revenue Code, the tax code of the United States. It constantly references back to tax code, because the whole regulatory structure was based off taxes.
Well, depending on how you calculate it, Jordan, it could have been considered the largest tax increase in American history. I'm not sure if President Obama ever declared that there were no taxes in it. I think he would have defined them a different way. But essentially, Jordan, you're right. They took hundreds of millions of dollars from the American people and then gave them as giveaways for subsidies for health insurance. Now, ironically, when those taxes are being rolled back, when they're being repealed, it is being viewed as a tax cut. So if there was anybody out there that said they were not tax increases now, they should not be able to describe them as a tax cut now. And yet Chuck Schumer was on the floor of the Senate describing it as exactly that, about 30 minutes ago.
Getting reports that these are the senators on the Republican side that are kind of wavering on this issue, on this legislation. Now, again, they could change their minds very quickly because now the text is out. Some are very conservative. Some are the most moderate. It's kind of that two sides. So you got Rand Paul, Senator Paul, Senator Mike Lee, Senator Cruz. So those would be on the more conservative side of the aisle. And then you've got on the leaning more, moving to more moderate. I say you have Senator Portman, Senator Collins, Senator Murkowski, Senator Heller, and Senator Capito. Again, I don't want to put too much on that because they all need time to read the text. But I will tell you, as we go through the text, if we believe it's time to fully mobilize behind this, it's not a bunch of Democrats' offices we're going to be telling you to call. It may be some of them. Not yet, because none of this is really other than Rand Paul. And I don't – you never know with him. Remember, the Freedom Caucus changed, and he was kind of leading that even in the House. So let's take some more phone calls. I just wanted to put that out there for people because we got listeners from all those states just to know kind of who's wavering and who's been pretty supportive of the process.
All right, let's go to Charles in Athens, Georgia. You're on the air, Charles.
Yes, I have two quick comments. First of all, I wish Jay or Jordan would go over the tactics the Democrats used to get Obamacare passed. And they're accusing the Republicans now of the very same tactics they used. And, locking them out from the conference and all that we're talking about it. And, they're just everything they did then, they're accusing the Republicans now. And the second one is, I think the leadership of the Democrat Party is really upset because Obamacare was designed to be the first phase to roll in the single-payer system.
Yeah.
It was designed to fail, to roll it in. And that's what they want, is really to convert into socialism. And now that they're planning
Charles, they want that European-style system. President Obama wanted it, too. They couldn't get there. Remember, they passed it only by a vote, just like this kind of legislation. It's small margins. It's highly, highly partisan, highly controversial because, again, it affects all of us. It's a big deal. But I do believe, actually, I know some people think it's a conspiracy, but it was set up in such a way that it would not work without major reforms. And that the Democrats were hoping, hey, we get a Democrat president who would veto anything but changes. The Republicans would ultimately be under so much pressure because the thing's going to fall apart that they'll save it, that they'll make the changes that are necessary, increase the taxes, increase the burden on employers. Well, guess what? It's a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican president in office, who, by the way, has been so open, President Trump, to taking what Congress gives him and getting this into action and signing this. You have not heard him say, it must have this or I'm vetoing it. That's not the case. So it's really up to Congress to get this to his desk. On the other point you made on the process, this has been completely open enough. The Democrats have refused to take part. Unless it's saving Obamacare, they will not take part. So, by the way, any conservatives that you hear tell you that this is not a repeal of Obamacare, then Democrats would have taken part in it. But they know it is, so they wanted nothing to do with it. If it was helping or boosting Obamacare, they would have all been part of this, and they would have, this would be bipartisan. They know it's not. So don't listen to some conservatives who have got agendas to push on specific because of whatever industry backs them or they've got connections to. Don't take that. Don't take that bait. If no Democrats are involved, it ain't trying to prop up the Affordable Care Act. It's as simple as that. And Logan, want to take calls again as we have our second half hour coming up.
That's right. If you don't get us, join us online, facebook.com/JSekulo, Periscope, search for JSekulo or ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, our second half hour of the broadcast. Thanks for joining us on radio, Sirius XM, or online, Facebook and Periscope, where we also broadcast the show. You can see us and inside the studio as well, even during the breaks. It's been a busy time, and now we've got the healthcare bill from the United States Senate. The text is available to all of us, not just to the senators, 142 pages. Very similar to the House bill. I mean, this was probably the most surprising out of this whole process is that there's not giant significant. If you voted for the House bill, I don't know why you would not vote as it stands right now. Again, it's got to go through the amendment process. But if you look at these 142 pages, there's really no reason why you would not vote for this. Excuses why not, if it stands this way. It includes the defunding of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is freaking out over this. They are already into action that this is the worst. How could they do this to us? I mean, you got Cecile Richards out. You got Bernie Sanders. Let me play this again because I think that this is why the Democrats can't win those special elections. It is why, you've got the calls for Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to go. It is not a big tent party. It's a party of only one. We've got pro-abortion Republican senators on the Republican side who want to support Planned Parenthood. They're the minority, but they're not kicked out of the party, like it or not, you know. But the Democrats, I mean, they are owned by Planned Parenthood. And remember, other than the Democratic Party itself, the number two funder to the Democrat candidate in Georgia, that kid, was Planned Parenthood. They were number two, only outdone in spending by the Democrat Party itself. But take a listen to Senator Bernie Sanders.
It is not a health care bill when you defund Planned Parenthood.
Take that right there. It is not a health care bill, Than, if you don't fund a nonprofit organization that kills babies. This is why Democrats can't get over the line in any of these special elections. Right there. Bernie Sanders, I hope they keep moving to become more like him, because they'll never win another election in any close district. Blue states only, blue districts only. That will be the only places they can compete.
Well, Jordan, it's been the mantra of the left for a number of years now. Remember back when Obamacare was being debated, this line was uttered by President Obama when he said that the services that Planned Parenthood provide is health care. This was a tenet of Obamacare that they were not willing to lay down. And if this is in the reform in any capacity, you are going to see the abortion left oppose the bill. And Jordan, I would just say, they were number two in funding in that Georgia 6 race. And it's not like they were number two in some race that only $100,000 was spent. That was the most expensive congressional race in United States history. And Planned Parenthood spent $730,000 on it. That's the powerhouse that they are here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. But I hope they could, if the Democrats keep embracing them and everything falls on Planned Parenthood funding, I think that that's what keeps them from flipping seats and competing in redder leaning districts where you may be able to convince people, but they're so hard line on this issue, they don't even allow candidates who have a different opinion, unlike the Republicans, to run. But let's take some phone calls.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Phil in Brooklyn, New York on line 3. Phil, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yep, you're on the air, Phil.
Yes, I love you. I love your show.
Thank you.
Good show. My question to you, what are we paying taxes for?
Oh, we pay taxes you pay federal taxes for some federal issues and state taxes for things like roads and schools and decisions that have been made to fund what government runs. So there's a lot of things.
No, number one, we are paying taxes for health.
Yes, that's not true. That is actually not true. That's just something kind of new. And the fact that we're actually would be taxed for having insurance or penalized for not, the government, and it's not in the Constitution, but it's also not been in legislation before, has not been responsible for all of our health care. Regulating some, yes, and also at the state level, sure. But Phil, there's no constitutional guarantee for health care. There's nowhere the government says it must provide all Americans with health care. And by the way, the Affordable Care Act under Obamacare didn't do that either.
Right, but we're in existence for going on 300 years, and we have scholars, we have PhDs, we have MBAs, people with degrees, and up to now, we cannot come up with a solution for...
No, well, I would say this. It's the free market. That's what makes our country great. That's why we have all those people, Phil. You want that European-style system? You can go move to Europe, but wait in line. Or, we'll talk about it.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We've got the Senate healthcare legislation in front of us. I know there's a lot of questions. It's 142 pages, so it's not 2,000 plus pages to go through. Key on page 34 is the defunding of Planned Parenthood. There's also, of course, the ending of the mandates, the penalties, the Cadillac tax. A little bit more on the tax credit side. A little bit more funding on some of the for folks who are who need more help. As the president said, you have more heart in this, and but not such significant changes that I think that if you voted for this in the House of Representatives, when this, well, let's say if this gets back to them, we hope it does, and it gets through the Senate, as it stands today, before the amendment process, it'd be tough to say why you would not support this yet again. I want to play this because I think this points to how sick it is that the Democrats were unwilling to work with Republicans on this. Because this is the state of our healthcare system in the United States right now. Take a listen. This is Senator Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, on the floor of the U.S. Senate, introducing this legislation. Take a listen, bite 23.
It said it would increase choice, but of course it didn't. This year, 70% of American counties have had little or no choice of insurers under Obamacare. Next year, at least 44 counties are projected to have no choice at all, meaning yet again, Americans could be thrown off their plans in states like Missouri and Ohio and Wisconsin. Does it sound like Obamacare is working?
I mean, that is, to me, that sums it up right there, is that you must do something here. And this is step one, to repeal and replace Obamacare. Step two will be the all of the work that gets done through the administrative agencies of HHS. That doesn't require the lawmaking process, but after they pass the law to implement the new law. And then phase three will be more legislative work, more fixes. You know, we can improve this, certainly, but we want to use this reconciliation process, which makes it much easier to get it through Congress. And so we're encouraged. We, again, are looking very closely. You're not going to get Democrat support here, so it's all about the Republicans. Logan, let's take a phone call and then, you know, continue again. Focus where there's 142 pages here. There's lots of different provisions. But I want to take people's calls, see what they're interested in.
Yeah, we actually have a comment I want to take. And this is from Karen. She says, everyone in Congress required to abide by the same health care system under this bill, unlike Obamacare.
Yeah, right. Under Obamacare, they were exempted.
Right, they could do whatever they want.
Now, under the House plan, they had to abide by the same law. I'm assuming, Than, that's in the Senate plan as well?
Yes, it's going to be in the Senate plan. What I can't tell you, Jordan, is if it's in this text or if they will have to pass a separate measure immediately right. after, just like the House did.
Right.
But both the House and the Senate have committed that that exemption is not going to be there in there.
So, Karen, I mean, it may not be in this text, so it'll have to be a secondary vote. But that is a very important point to make, is that no longer will our elected officials be exempt from a health care law. It was supposed to be so great for everybody. Then why were they exempt? Because it's horrendous. They all like their much better government health care plans. Under this law, they get the same treatment as every other American, whether they work for Congress or not. Back to the phones.
All right, continuing on. Let's go to Morgan, who's calling in Connecticut on line four. Morgan, welcome.
Hi. I was just, you know, this is kind of goes to what that comment was about,
yeah.
about the Senate actually being, you know, not being exempt from it as well. Because I think that would go a long way with, you know, voters if they know that, you know, we're all in the same boat, you know. If
yeah.
something goes wrong, they're going to actually be, you know, they're going to be affected as well.
It affects them. So, it affects their staff, some of them long-term staff. So it affects their personal life, their staff's life. I mean, it's very important. That was such a swampish move back when the Affordable Care Act passed to exempt themselves. It's typical Washington junk. It's the reason why those people are no longer empowered, and Nancy Pelosi continues to be the minority leader, and Chuck Schumer is the minority leader. They are not; they are in the minority, and you saw in these special elections a complete sweep by Republicans. As much money as the Democrats want to dump into it. I think that people have gotten to that point and that they realize these points. So let's take some more calls.
That's right. All right, let's take some calls. I continue. Some of these people have been hold forever. Let's go to Jesse, who's calling in Los Angeles.
Jesse, do not, by the way, stay on the line. We'll get you a book as well.
Yeah, almost 40 minutes. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate all you do. And I also want to say I appreciate your screeners. They're so professional. You've actually touched on what I wanted to ask in a few earlier calls, but what I basically wanted to ask was, isn't the big stink about this really the fact that Planned Parenthood was a huge funder of the Obama administration?
Yes. I mean, just like the Democrat candidate in Georgia, his number two spender on his behalf was Planned Parenthood. The only other bigger spender. This is the most expensive House race ever in history. The only entity that spent more money was the actual Democrat Party itself. Number two was Planned Parenthood. And take a listen to President Obama. He said it's always about abortion. It was especially the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. Take a listen.
In my mind, reproductive care is essential care. It is basic care. And so it is at the center and at the heart of the plan that I've proposed.
And again, when he says reproductive, that only means funding for Planned Parenthood. And that is the key. There will be reproductive funding in healthcare under this act, just not paying for abortion, which, by the way, you know, the way that they use that term is like not reproduction at all. It is terminating that reproduction. But that's the kind of language again. But this you're right on, Jesse, with that comment. It was all about abortion with the Affordable Care Act. It's why it was so partisan. And yet again, all about abortion. Well, you know, and you understand why. When you're the number two spender next to the Democrat Party itself on all these candidates' campaigns, including Chuck Schumer, you know, including the kid out of Georgia, they own you. They own these politicians, more so than other big businesses even do, which is pretty wild in these times to imagine that. We continue to take phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Comments on Facebook and Periscope
as
well. Yeah,
Wanda said, where can we read the bill?
Oh, well, it's posted everywhere. I've tweeted it out. I mean,
it's pretty extensive.
It's up in the
Senate.
Not
as big, though, as previously, right?
So you can find this on my Twitter page. Than, where officially is it posted just to, like, Senate.gov?
It's on the Senate Budget Committee's website.
Okay, that's where it starts. So the Google Senate Budget Committee. But most news outlets now have got it. I've got it linked up. It's, again, you're going to open up a large document.
Yeah.
It's 142 pages. And you know, again, you're going to be reading a lot of dashes and code sections that may not all make sense because you got to usually put this into the larger scope of the federal regulations because we're undoing a massive basically tax bill that was put in place by the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. But there's a summary at that Senate Budget Committee as well, which I think is helpful for folks. And again, we're going to point out key parts. Page 34 is where the defunding of Planned Parenthood begins. That goes into page 35. It's the defunding not of just Planned Parenthood, but all abortion providers, and that needs to be made clear as well. Let's grab a call.
All right, let's go to Bill, who's calling on line three. Bill, you're on the air.
Thanks. I was a little disheartened to hear that the president said that the House bill was too mean and, put more money in the deal. If this bill costs to go out of control, would there be any way to put in this bill, since reconciliation means budget-type things, that a simple majority of the House and Senate could actually reduce benefits? Otherwise, it looks like it might be a problem getting guys like Rand Paul and me and other conservatives to go for it. Might as well just let Obamacare fail.
Well, it already is failing. And you know what? I'm going to keep you on, Bill. If you let it fail and don't do anything about our healthcare system, how do you think most voters are going to react in 2018 if you don't help, because they're going to have literally no healthcare in the year? So before the election, they will have no healthcare. Why do you think Democrats want it to fail? And they want it to fail under Republicans' watch. So, Bill, if you don't do something, I think that you're going to lose a lot more people. Not everybody's not so ideological when they don't have a healthcare choice anymore. I get your reaction to that.
Well, if we let it go right now, I don't see how we have to take the
it's going to go over the next year. Okay,
I don't think it's our fault unless we're not doing a very good job of defending ourselves.
Conservatives are the governing party. You already have the White House and the House and the Senate. It is up to you as the governing party to help the American people. This is not all about ideology anymore. Yeah. It's not just saying no anymore. I think, Bill, that is an old way of thinking, and we got to get past that. We got to think proactive. How do we help the American people?
Right.
Saying just let it all go doesn't help anybody, and it just turns voters off. So if you want to keep Republican majorities, which I think most of our listeners probably do, not helping people, let their health insurance fall, yeah, that's going to be a really great strategy. But that's exactly what the Democrats want, though, Than.
Yeah, look, I would just say this. Political fault cannot drive decision-making. That's not a moral way to govern, especially when the voters gave you the White House, the House, and the Senate. I would say this to the caller, though. He's worried about a cost getting out of control. One of the best things about this bill is the Medicaid reforms that are in here. We can get into more of this later in the broadcast, maybe, Jordan, but that is where the greatest cost savings is here. And actually, for a caller like that, I think that might be the primary reason to support this bill.
Yeah. Don't just take a few people, commentators, at their word. Everybody's going through it now, as we are doing at the American Center for Law and Justice. We've focused on some key provisions. And again, it tracks very similar to the House legislation. And we've all said this is not the end game on this. This is part one of at least three parts of the full healthcare reform that we need in our country. We've got another segment coming up. We'll take your phone calls and comments.
That's right. Phone lines are jammed, but they may open up. 1-800-684-3110 or on social media. Right back, taking all the calls and comments we can in the next segment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, and it is still breaking news because the Senate has now made public its repeal and replacement of the Affordable Care Act and its new health care plan. This legislation, which the idea is that it could be voted on next week in the United States Senate. It would then go to the House, and if there's not significant differences, the House could just vote on it, which means we could be two votes away from the first phase in repealing and replacing Obamacare. So you do that. Then you go through the regulatory phase, which doesn't require voting. It just, you got to, you know, the HHS has to implement this, Health and Human Services. And then phase three, I think it would be more legislative work where you actually could get Democrats on board because it's not about saving or repealing Obamacare anymore. So that's where we are. There's a lot of questions about it. I want to take people's phone calls.
Yep, let's continue on. Let's go to Deborah, who's calling in Pennsylvania online too.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're good, Deborah.
Good. I want to thank you for all you do. My questions are, for pre-existing conditions, is there any language in there about that?
Than, how is that handled? I mean, is it basically handled the same way as the House handled it with these, is it the risk pools, or how is that handled in the U.S. Senate?
Yeah, I haven't gotten down into the weeds all the way on that, Jordan, but the reports that I've read is that they've actually bolstered the requirements for pre-existing condition. I don't know if it's entirely through what's called the Stability Fund or if there's a statutory requirement, but they have strengthened that language somewhat. We're going to have to get down to the weeds to tell you specifically how they accomplished that.
All right, let's take a listen. This is Senator McConnell, actually, Deborah, addressing just this point. So it looks like in this legislation, there's more money for those with pre-existing conditions. So there is some more there than in the House plan. I don't think enough, again, where if you voted for the House plan, that you would not vote for the Senate plan. This should not be like that. But take a listen to this, Majority Leader McConnell, by 29 today.
We also agree on the need to strengthen Medicaid, preserve access to care for patients with pre-existing conditions, and allow children to stay on their parents' health insurance through the age of 26.
So there you go. And again, this will all, we're going to break all of this down. This only came out about an hour before we went on air. It's 142 pages. But as you said, it's tracking very similar to the House. It may just be that they said, well, we want to fund a little bit more. So I think for people who are nervous about the pre-existing conditions, this actually would provide some more funding there. Let's take another call.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Deborah in Oregon on line five. You're on the air. Hey, Deborah.
Hello, guys.
Hi.
Hello. First of all, I just want to thank you for all you guys do. You're on top of so many things going on back in D.C. that keeps us all informed. And one thing I too want to say is that we all continue to pray for the courage and the strength for these Republicans to do what is right on behalf of the American public. And as we know, time and time again, Cecil Richards and Planned Parenthood, they lie to the American public. Planned Parenthood never provided mammograms, like she said time and time again on, you know, national news. And they will say and do anything to protect their political agenda and ideology.
Yeah, and they're on the edge, Deborah, of losing half of their funding. They could still go and raise their money as a nonprofit. This is not about outlawing abortion. This has nothing to do with Roe versus Wade. This is just whether you and I are going to be subsidizing Planned Parenthood and half their annual budget, which is about $500 million of their $1 billion, or nearly $1 billion budget. And then, they own now the Democrat Party. It's so clear. I mean, there's even these Joe Manchin types who try to run it both ways. I mean, they literally, it's like if when it actually matters, even those who try to be on the more moderate side of the Democrat Party when it comes to abortion, when it matters, they're going to still stand up with Planned Parenthood. And they should be called out for that. I mean, I think, that's their own legislative voting. Sometimes they vote against it, but like when it doesn't matter, they'll vote to defund it. But when it actually could impact Planned Parenthood's funding, suddenly they're against it for other reasons. And that's because they own the Democrat Party. It's just fair to say at this time they could reject this, the Democrats, but they have been embracing a further and further leftist, and this is part of that liberal movement. Back to the phones.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Debbie in New York, line six. You there,
Hello?
Debbie? Yes, you're on the air.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a comment. Every time I hear them call women abortion women's health, it kind of turns my stomach. For years, I did post-abortion counseling at a pregnancy support center, and there were a few things a woman can do to herself that is actually more harmful. It can cause permanent hormonal damage. It causes depression. And so many of the women I counseled didn't want the abortion, but were cornered into it by the man who fathered the child who didn't want it, or by, you know, family members, you're too young, you're single, ready to die. It isn't women's health. That money could be so much better spent in
cancer screenings. And there's other issues where, you know, again, not as controversial. And health clinics, again, that provide services. And we're talking about, you know, this is all women. But then they admit to you it's 2 million. Now, in a country of 300-plus million people,
right,
where it's about roughly like 50-50, I mean, I think there's more women than men. But, you know, it's again, they're talking about 2 million, and they try to make that number sound big. But that's because these laws really are about the people who aren't getting government services and who aren't getting this either through their employers or through a spouse, through the government service that they do, or if they work for the government, whether at the federal or state level. I mean, so it's a small group of people that fall in the category of don't get it through the federal government already because of income level, and don't get it through an employer. And then in this case, they try to make it sound big. It's not. And again, it's all about abortion to them. That's they don't care about the other women's health aspects of it, or else they would separate their entities out, and they won't even do that.
All right, let's go to Ben, who's calling in Texas. Line one, Ben, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to say you guys are great for doing everything you're doing. I am pro-defunding Planned Parenthood, but I really think retracting required participation is bad because that's how we got into this critical health care status prior to
even
Hillary.
Think about this. Before the Affordable Care Act, what was so bad? I mean, they act like it was like our health care system was falling apart, but all that's happened since the Affordable Care Act is that it's costing more for everybody. We took care of people if they showed up at the emergency rooms. There was some abuse going on there, but we're still doing that.
Yeah, still every day.
The penalties were actually kind of so weak that, you know, if you chose that, I mean, it was
nothing.
And then not enough to cover all the times the emergency. I mean, so, but our healthcare system was not crashing pre-Obamacare. I mean, it's hard to remember. But the premiums have gone up by, you know, doubled and tripled. So I think that this idea, again, yeah, people should have personal accountability to some extent. I think you want to help the most those who need the most help, and you don't want to penalize people who are providing insurance. So it's small businesses and employers, sometimes who are taxed, you know, individually in those small businesses, pass through taxation. And at the same time, the people who are in the middle have to deal with their accountability. They got to make decisions. If they don't get health insurance through some other way, they're going to have to make a decision on how much coverage they want, and they have to be liable, or else we're not a country of freedom or free markets anymore.
Absolutely. Now, Susan called. I don't think we're going to take her call prior out of time. She did ask a question.
I can answer it real quick.
She said she wondered how Planned Parenthood could have been such a major contributor to campaigns when it's taxpayer funded.
They have a political action committee. Now, on their website, it can get very complicated because you can click on one and then click on the other. It's called Planned Parenthood Action. So they raise money for political campaigns through that part of their, you know, separate entity,
right,
but part of their overall organization.
See,
and they don't make
ways, yeah.
On their own, they don't make a lot of distinctions between. That's because Planned Parenthood gets treated differently under the law than everyone else. I mean, it's like
literally
Planned Parenthood here
else.
and everybody else gets treated differently. All right. They get to provide surgeries without even having to meet surgical care standards. It's unbelievable. But folks, we got legislation to defund, and we're going to talk about it more tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for joining us today.
That's right. Catch us tomorrow. We'll be updating you throughout the day. ACLJ.org. Find us on social.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.